Folks, this show will spoil shit for you so hard. Specifically, it'll spoil stuff about the fall 2014 anime season if you haven't already gotten way ahead of us, which you probably have. Also, this show will have terribly offensive language. Grisaya no Kaijutsu. Please don't be Steins Gate. Please don't be Steins Gate. Please don't be Steins Gate. And now the Please Don't Be Steins Gate players.
See, that's all I needed to remind me of which show this was. Though, the funny thing is now that I think about it, this show and one of our other fall 2014 shows, all you have to do is change School of Assassins with Magic School, and you've got basically the same kind of thing going on.
Sometimes at the same time. A show can draw inspiration from something terrible and make something awesome out of it. Look at how terrible a movie The Rescuers is, and how amazing a movie The Rescuers Down Under is. Look at how Terminator 2 just shits all over Terminator 1. Hell, look at how good Final Fantasy 15 looks, even though it technically takes place in the same universe as 13 and the rest of them. And maybe 15 will have an amazing story that shows that Fal Si can be awesome in a story. That won't make Final Fantasy 13 less shitty. But it will make Final Fantasy XV awesome. You can draw inspiration from something terrible or be a direct sequel to something terrible and not be terrible. So this seems Steins Gate-y, but I'm not turned off just yet about this tale of a boy with a tragic assassin's past being sent to a school where all the girls are playing up tropes seemingly on purpose for reasons untold. What?
This is our 19th seed.
And what did you think of the first episode again?
I'm going to have to actually reference the document just to remind me here. This,
observe the document!
I gave it a 6.
What did I give it?
You gave it a pie.
Yeah, you were more impressed by this one than I was.
I was impressed with the potential here. I liked the fact that they were all playing tropes that he was already calling bullshit on, and that he was figuring things out, as he should, based on just how set up the school is. Come on. Let's not even joke about it. It's a fucking academy set up just for him, it seems.
I'm gonna be honest and say I'm not expecting much out of this, but all the pieces are in place for me to not be disappointed. And I'm kind of secretly hoping that this show doesn't disappoint me. Then again, I'm hoping everything doesn't disappoint me, so I don't know why the fuck I'm qualifying that specifically.
That's true, but, I mean, remember, we only had a couple or a few. No, we had 5 yellows that made this list. So, we're in the cream of the crop slash just slightly less than to make this list.
And to be fair, sometimes something that is imperfect can capture a greater amount of someone's love just because its imperfections make it whole.
Let's find out.
I would argue that Iron Man is not the perfect superhero movie and that it has some giant plot holes and a silly villain. And yet, just for showing us how possible it was to do Iron Man and for making him so endearing, it still is, in my mind, the second or third best superhero movie I've seen.
Fair enough.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see if Grisaya no Kaijutsu is Iron Man.
Meanwhile, in the future.
Grisaya no Kaijutsu. First episode showed Yuji getting acquainted with his new school and the seemingly disingenuous girls who already attend there. And showed us hints that there's some kind of dark or sinister thing happening behind them all. The second episode showed us befriending a little girl, teaching her how to fish for crabs, and dodging another girl, Sakaki, who's trying to kill him with an X-Acto knife. And he is so cool that that doesn't even faze him. And then we see something about befriending Sakaki, getting to trust her, and we also meet Yuji's boss, who hints even further that he's an undercover assassin of some kind. And then the episode ends, and we are none the wiser. Dave, here to tell us about what you thought of this one was you.
That was kind of a huge pile of nothing. It was just...
Well, what, he's stealing my sayings now?
It just was a giant pile of jumbled setup in the hopes of keeping people's attention and kind of going, hey, we got something coming. Eventually. Here, just watch more setup. Ooh. I love the fact that in the closing, we actually got more in the 20 seconds of the closing as far as learning different actual, how people actually are, than in the entire two episodes. Like, we thought they were all playing an act, as in, you know, one character would act one trope, another character would act another trope. But no, they just blew that away in the last 20 seconds by having each of the girls show up as Sakaki's thinking about friends. And sure enough, they actually do act like that. So unless they were given a role to play before they showed up, this is actually how they are.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Which kind of sucks.
I'm not sure what's going on and why this show can't be bothered to make the first 90% of the show as informative as the last 10% of a given episode.
Yeah.
Which seems to be its MO. It's like, it's slowly showing, like, Yuji being played footsies with the redhead. And I'm like, okay, I get it. She wants to jump his bones, maybe. And then that leads to, there's no payoff to that.
Yeah,
and,
nothing.
And it shows him befriending the little girl, Makina. And then there's kind of a payoff to that. And it shows him weaseling his way into Sakaki's heart a little bit. And there's no payoff to that. And there's no payoff to anything. And the show is relying on us wanting to watch more. Yuki Yuna did the same thing in the very first episode, but it dropped all pretenses halfway through and didn't waste my time.
I mean, I said at the halfway point, give us a mission. Give us a reason to be invested in these characters beyond fake high school life. You've shown us little peaks into each girl's kind of more sinister, sadistic ways. It's time to show somebody doing something besides Sakaki trying to cut him up with an X-Acto knife.
Yeah, this is the thing. Some or all of these characters are not what they seem. And it's not enough to just string us along with that. It's not only is it not enough, it's not fair to us. It's not respectful of our time or of our intelligence. I would be lying if I told you that I wasn't intrigued to see what happens, but I would be telling the truth if I told you that I certainly don't particularly need to know so bad that we need to keep going. What do you rate this out of 3 pi?
This is a tough one. I want to be hard on it, but it wasn't... No, you know something? I'm going to give this a 3.5. Mirai gave me more to work with than this. That's sad.
I think Mirai gave me less, but I'm going to match your rating for this one at 3.5.
Okay.
And I think this is a yellow, yes?
Yeah. It's not significantly shitty enough to rate a red.
But it's also, unless things go really downhill for a lot of these shows, it's not going to... It's probably not going to make it.
This is another one that I could see myself looking up a third episode just out of curiosity.
Unlike Mirai, when you do, let me know and I might be interested.
Oh, I'll tell you both.
I won't watch the third Mirai, though.
Oh, I know.
Unless it somehow makes it.
God, I hope not.
Speaking of making it, Amagi Brilliant Park bucked all convention and was awesome. Like some kind of weird Japanese Futurama in a carnival. And this second episode has a lot to live up to. Let us see the continuing adventures of Kanye, Sento, Latifah, and all the other hip-hop inspired named characters.
You're still way better with names than I am.
Meanwhile, in the future...
I'm not a fan of amusement parks. So if I was asked to take over one, I have no idea where I'm going with this. That was a good episode. So Magi Brilliant Park, episode 2. We continue where we left off. Kanye is kind of torn between whether or not he wants to accept a job, meets the asshole developers who will get to take over the park if the park does not attract a certain amount of customers and make a certain amount of money by a certain date. Kanye wants nothing to do with this shit because he didn't like that he was brought there at gunpoint, which, is a reasonable reaction.
Calls her on that.
Yep. And when he's about to leave, he meets asshole developer again, which pisses him off so much that he goes and sees the magical people worrying about what they're going to do in the future if the park closes down. Kanye steps forward and gives them a reverse psychology, you all suck, now fucking deal with it speech. And that seems to fire something up. He accepts the job, and next we're going to see how he makes the park succeed. The episode ends with the park being closed for one day per his orders. By the way, he pretty much said, if I'm the manager, my way or the highway. So he's pretty much in charge now for 3 months. He said after 3 months, he's gone.
Yep.
What did you think of episode 2 of Omagi Brilliant Park, Dave?
You know, it didn't have the slapstick comedy of the first episode, but it was still just as strong for what they showed. There was a whole bunch more talking, but it was all more than relevant to what was going on. You saw all the different angles of things going on, how they were all reacting, and very, very strong.
Yeah, I agree.
They didn't waste the dialogue. It was needed.
We got to see sides of what I assume are our main two characters, Kanye and Cento. We got to see Kanye's... I like that he called out Cento on pretty much bringing him here under the threat of death. Turns out her gun really isn't all that deadly if she doesn't need it to be.
She can make different ammo, which the one she shot him with in the last episode...
Cross pain, that was like twice the stubbing of a toe.
A little toe. Called it
Painbringer.
Yeah.
Anywho, the... I like that he called her out on it, and I liked how we got to see other sides of her, that she too was just as desperate as Latifah and the rest to save their home. Like, she didn't want him to leave because they think that he's their last hope. We learned that, they've tried to hire management consultants and they all quit. So this kid and his flair for the dramatic, because he used to be a child actor with an unknown mysterious past, is literally their last fucking hope.
I also like how with just one line, they showed that he'd already been thinking about how he could possibly help them. And because he was already writing the numbers through his head the night before when the enemy, as they were referring to the development company, was running the numbers on how much each family would have to spend. Mm-hmm. And he automatically threw out a number. And everybody was just shocked. I like how they're already showing that he... already somewhat cared, but he's still pissed.
I like that. I like that we see that Cento, she's like a soldier. She's like the royal guard of this princess.
Yep.
And because of that, she just has no idea how to act with people. And she's sad about that. She's like, I don't know how to talk to people. I don't know what to do. She talks about these developers like they're the enemy. Mm-hmm. And she talks about hiring managers by threatening them like this is the only thing she knows.
Yeah.
And this adds some depth and nuance to her, which I really like. We get to see some depth to Muffle, Fumofu guy, because he obviously thinks this kid's a punk and that they can do it without him. This was more of a setup episode for what comes next. Regardless, it was a good setup episode. I would miss it if we lost the same not really slapstick, but the good humor the last one had.
Yes.
Because I like that it set us up with humor and then brought the emotion, and this episode was a little more serious than that, which is fine, too. I just hope that that's not going to be the case from here on out.
I don't think it's going to be. We did get a little bit of it. I mean, he shows up right and then he's automatically in a fighting pose the second he sees
Muffle.
Because he gets the feeling he's going to need to be, and then they fight. I mean, that was humor right there, and that it shows they're willing to go to the slapstick, but it's good slapstick.
I wouldn't even call it slapstick. I don't think this is slapstick humor. This is the humor in the first episode was pretty smart, and the couple times it was used in this episode was pretty smart too. So I mean, yeah, I'm still on board. I would rate this. What did I rate the first episode? Because I'm going to match that rating.
You gave it a 9 out of 3 pie.
I'm going to go a little the same, 9 out of 3 pie.
Whereas I gave it a perfect. I'm going to have to bring her down to 9.
Okay, so we average out at 9. And green, yes?
Yeah, it's still green. These, our top 3 so far have been
green.
Very strong.
I don't forget if we mentioned that Amagi Brilliant Park was the number 3 seed for week 2, but it is. Our third worst seed for week 2, our 18th seed, is World Trigger, which we expected more out of, but still kept us enticed. Will World Trigger live up to this? Let's find out.
Meanwhile, in the future.
All right, World Trigger Episode 2. Osamu and Kuga being a neighbor, learn more about Japan. And Osamu learns that what Japan calls neighbors, he calls Treon soldiers, which are automated weapons built by neighbors who are, in fact, like humans, like him. Hilarious hijinks ensue as Kuga learns the ways of Japan, and Osamu tries valiantly to kind of accustom him to it. But then a gate opens up at their school.
Which
shouldn't be possible. And now Osamu, who is rather weak for having C-class. A trigger, C-class apparently, he has to fight a bunch of monsters by himself. Say again?
Mon-mons.
Sure, good work. And that's where the episode ends, on a cliffhanger. I thought this episode was better than the first one, because we've kind of gotten the setup out of the way, and now we're getting to some of the, I guess, level 2 setup. But I gotta tell you, that fucking fish face thing has to stop.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's not endearing, it's not cute, it's just annoying.
Yeah, it's like, listen, I want to see Kuga's expressions, and I want to see what his eyes look like. It's way more convincing when he gives you an I'm going to kill you stare, when it's not 3 lines and him puckering his lips like a fucking idiot.
If they used it once in a while, it would be okay, but it's like every freaking scene.
Yeah, it's all the time. If it was once or twice, fine, but it's all the time throughout the whole episode. Otherwise, still competent. This is one where I kind of want to keep going just to see what happens, but at the same time, it hasn't blown me out of the water, but it also hasn't made me terribly wary.
I'm in the same boat. I'm kind of curious where it's going, but I think it still kind of fits the 18th seed on our list.
Probably.
I can't find myself to... I'm not jumping up and down to, ooh, what's happening next? It's like, okay, I'm getting pieces of different animes here that have been mixed together, and not in a good way. It's just average. It's very average. Nothing is popping out as, ooh, wow, this is awesome. They've got an interesting premise
but it's not
for
doing
the
much,
world.
It's not doing much to distinguish itself from similar shows.
No.
Arguably, Yuki Yuna is doing way better at World Trigger than World Trigger is.
Yeah, it's just... Okay, I get Osamu is weak.
What's his name?
I said Osamu.
Oh, good. I thought you ran by it because you didn't know what it is.
No, I didn't.
I think Osamu is really weak.
No, we're not doing a Klaatu Barasa moment here.
I don't know what you just said, but I'm kind of scared now. People save me from Dave.
Evil Dead 2 / Army of Darkness, when he's doing the whole magical words and he forgets, and he goes, Klaatu Barasa. fucks
up. Can you do that in a spell? Did it no. work for him?
Oh, it worked, but it caused horrible, horrible things to happen. That's the joke. Anyway, Osamu, I mean, I get where they're coming from, and I get they're going to do more with it, but I think by this point, they would have been better to have introduced us to maybe a couple of the actual border agents who are looking for who took things out, and well, less...
they did, but very briefly.
No, I mean, like, literally, they're tracking who did it down, not just showing up on the site and, oh, so this has been handled. I'm talking, they're now searching the city.
Yeah, I
give us a little bit of personality to the actual border groups, and less leg breaking because people are trying to rob them.
Yeah, I could have done with one less scene of Kuga fucking people up, and one more scene of them being tracked. That would have been more compelling to
me. Yes. So, unfortunately, we're still in setup, and I don't know how many episodes long this one's supposed to be, if it's a 12 or a 24, but it doesn't matter. We're in the second episode, less setup, more meat and gravy.
Sounds to me like you were less impressed than I was with it. What do you score it?
5.
Me too.
It's average. Pure average.
I would say, though, this still gets a yellow.
Oh, sure. I don't expect, unless something really fucks up, to put one of these to a red.
It might not have to be a red. We might just be at the point where yellows start getting cut because...
I think we're at that point already. 10 of these are gone.
Oh, yeah, that's right, too.
Yeah. We're now into the what is the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else that we want to continue watching on the side, we'll do so either as part of regular anime, Anarave.
Anarave?
Anarave. Yeah, I'm going to start calling it Anarave. Anime Rave, or just on our own.
Agreed. Folks, thank you so much for watching. Carlos and Dave, AnimeRave.com is your destination for more of this awesome, life-changing fucking banter that will make you cream your pants in intellectually stimulating delight. You can also find this on Twitter at Two Fat Guys Talk. I'm also on Twitter. I'm a handsome fat man. Dave's there. He's the dude hack. If you follow me, be aware that I respond a lot to people and make fun of them because they piss me off. Just saying that. Don't be a hater. Be a masturbator. Masturbation makes you feel good. That's all I'm saying.
We're out.
Not in front of you.